Federal Reserve officials are confused. They're not sure what to make of recent data, nor the predicament they've created for themselves. Are they hawks? Yes. Are they doves? Yup. Are rates going to go down this year? Almost certainly. Are rates going to stay down? They can't say for sure. So call it revenge of the dots. And here's everything that you're going to need to know about the latest from the not happy central bankers. And it starts out with the very beginning of the statement they put out today. The FOMC statement said this: the committee judges that the risks to achieving its employment and inflation goals are moving into better balance. The economic outlook is uncertain, and the committee remains highly attentive to inflation risk. And that's really the issue here. Think about it from the perspective of these Federal Reserve officials. They have spent the last 2 years telling you all about how great their rate hikes are. Not just powerful rate hikes, but the most aggressive series of them that human beings have ever conceived. Given those expectations, they expected that the U.S. economy would be clobbered by them. Aggressive series of rate hikes gonna pound the economy into the ground. And therefore, that would take care of consumer price pressures. Yet, from their reading of the economy in statistics like GDP and the payroll report, the economy doesn't seem to have suffered anything from all of these rate hikes. So if these rate hikes, which are supposed to pound the economy, haven't pounded the economy, can you be certain about consumer prices? Even though the numbers look better, according to their theories of everything, it's just not working out the way they planned and predicted. Therefore, as they said in the statement, their level of uncertainty has gone way up. And that is reflected in everything that came out today in the FOMC. They're confused about their own rate hikes and the lack of follow-through from them. When reality says you should never have paid much attention to the rate hikes don't do anything, at least not in terms of the general economy. And instead, look at all the rest of the data, look around the rest of the world, understand what consumer price pressures were and where they were coming from, and realize this is all going in the same direction regardless. But as far as the Fed is concerned, they're really confused here. And so uncertainty in the dots, in the statements, in their speeches and their actions. It's all about uncertainty at the FOMC, while we're getting more and more clarity in terms of real economic data and even the market reaction to everything. So we've got lots of stuff to go over today, and I'll get to that. But I do want to remind you that Urinal University is having a spring sale starting next week. We'll have all the details worked out and available. You can find it on our website, urodollar.university, and I'll make sure to tell you here on YouTube too. Best prices and offers on all our research subscriptions as well as our membership. Stay tuned at Urinal University for the spring sale. Now you have to remember how we got here first. Back in November and December, before the bond market really started going in its rally, the Fed said, we're not talking about rate cuts. We're still focused solely on consumer prices, what they call inflation. Then in the middle of December, that FOMC meeting, Jay Powell said, yep, we're talking about rate cuts, appearing to embrace lower rates for reasons that they haven't come out and exactly confirmed. But essentially, the idea was, there's weakness in the economy. They could see it happening. Therefore, the balance of risks in their assessment tilted away from consumer prices and more toward the weak economy, which would have been consistent with what they've been expecting as far as rate hikes, putting the kibosh on demand, which is what was supposed to have happened all along. But instead, we get into 2024. The payroll reports look good. The fourth quarter GDP number looks really good. Consumer prices start to come back a little bit, even though that's gasoline and energy. Some of the services prices, including shelter, making them uneasy. And again, if you're the FOMC and you think our rate hikes are going to crush the economy and that's going to crush inflation, and you're not seeing the economy being crushed, and now consumer prices start to bubble up again, you're not really sure if you've actually done your job as far as consumer prices. But on the same side, or on the other side of the same token, the FOMC also doesn't necessarily think that's the case either, because they can see the economy weaken. They just don't have enough confidence and clarity. And that's where their lack of confidence is coming from, because this is not going the way they thought it would. So rate hike, flip-flop, rate hikes, hawkish policy late last year, then it sounded like dovishness until the early part of this year. Now they're back to hawkishness again, when that back and forth is really emblematic of the uncertainty that prevails at the FOMC. They're not really sure because they don't know how any of this actually works. They are completely flying blind, and it absolutely shows. What they were forced to do in their summary of economic projections was upgrade their GDP forecast for 2024 and modestly upgrade the PCE core estimates too. They took GDP up from 1.4%, which was the median of the projections that were made by the committee's participants, to 2.1%. So again, they expected the U.S. economy to be crushed by their aggressive rate hikes, and it doesn't appear to be crushed at all. If anything, it appears to be holding up strong and resilient according to these specific statistics. So, not sure about what to do with consumer prices. Now there's huge uncertainty with what to do with their rates. So they didn't say they're going to forecast fewer rate cuts this year. The dots still suggest there will be rate cuts because they don't want to change that part of their projections just yet. So the median was for 2024 basically the same, though more of the participants' projections bunched up in that 4.5% to 4.75% range. So still, the median for the dots in 2024 is about 4.6%. That really didn't change all that much. Instead, because of this rate, inflation, non-economy being crushed uncertainty, they raised their dots for 2025 and 2026. Not saying they're going to do fewer rate cuts. That's not really what they're saying. It's that the higher degree of uncertainty means they can't be as confident in the same number of rate cuts as they were in December. So the median went up to 3.9 from 3.6 for 2025, while the median was raised to 3.1 from 2.9 for 2026. But again, that's not saying fewer rate cuts. They're just not certain about what's really happening in the economy or as far as consumer price pressures are concerned. But they are being influenced by developments around the rest of the world, as well as the rest of the economy. Better believe that they've paid attention to the unemployment rate rising 0.5 percentage point from its low. That's one thing that they will have discussed, as is what's happening again around the rest of the world, because they see some of the consumer price numbers that are coming in recently and thinking, well, we don't really know what's going on here, but the direction seems to be the right one, which is one reason why they didn't really change their projections for interest rates in 2024. For example, talked about Australia. Australia consumer prices, which is one that they're probably watching pretty closely because of the global implications of the Australian economy. Australian consumer prices were flat in January from where they had been in December. Both were 3.4%, which is the lowest annual increase since November 2021. And that was less than what had been expected. And that's a constant theme you hear outside the U.S. anyway, that consumer prices are coming in less than expected, which is giving central banks in those places more room to think about being dovishness. And remember, they talk all the time. They like to coordinate their policies and actions where possible. So if the Australians are saying, hey, we're seeing more disinflation than we were expecting, that's a good thing. Maybe we could be a little bit less aggressive in our policy tone. That's going to be taken into account, as is in England, which is a big one because the English, UK inflation or consumer prices have lagged behind basically everyone else around the world up until recently. Just today, the UK government said consumer price, the CPI over there, that one decelerated all the way to 3.4% year over year in February from 4.0% in January. That was better than expectations too. In fact, it was the lowest in 2.5 years. And it means that the Bank of England won't be starting to cut rates at its meeting tomorrow, but it will very likely be talking about cutting rates because the UK economy is already in recession. And it doesn't look like it's going to have an easy way out of it. So you better believe the UK getting more confidence on the consumer price side, if they can't figure out why, are thinking, let's start talking about economic weakness. Because at least as far as the UK is concerned, it did seem to go to plan. They did an aggressive series of rate hikes to crush the economy. The economy appeared to have been somewhat crushed. Therefore, they're a little bit less confused than those at the Fed, especially as consumer prices continue to follow along in that same direction. So the Fed is looking at this and thinking, Well, there's probably similar processes taking place in the U.S. economy because this is globally synchronized, whether they want to admit it or not, which is why the rate hikes don't really matter in one location or another. But essentially, they're taking a look at what's happening around the rest of the world and thinking, on the one hand, this looks good. On the other hand, we just don't know why it looks good. And that's the biggest problem. One other central bank that they're in constant contact with, that's the ECB. And the ECB held this policy meeting a couple weeks ago, earlier in March. And basically they said, we're going to start cutting rates as soon as we possibly can, because the European economic situation has only gotten worse. And contrary to all expectations, it doesn't appear to be getting better anytime soon. So they really want to start cutting rates to help support the economy. But like in England and elsewhere, they're still not quite sure about consumer price pressures, especially as they relate to wages. In fact, Lagarde at her conference earlier in March said, we're waiting for the wage data to come in to be a little bit more certain about consumer price pressures. Well, yesterday the wage data came in for the fourth quarter of last year, and it suggested substantial deceleration in wage costs as well as hourly rates. According to Eurostat, the hourly labor costs were only up at a 3.3% rate, year-over-year rate in the fourth quarter, down substantially from 5.2%. Similar in terms of wage growth, 3.1% down from 3.2%, which takes even more pressure off of policymakers because of their view of inflation being tied to wages most of all, as we talked about with the Japanese. So as far as the ECB is concerned, they're on the phone doing their Zoom calls with their Federal Reserve counterparts saying, yeah, everything appears to be looking and going in the right direction here. So you can be a little bit more confident that the same underlying processes are taking place in the U.S. as well. The problem is the Fed's interpretation of the U.S. economy being way too strong, given, once again, the aggressive series of powerful rate hikes that don't appear to have clobbered the U.S. economy in the way that they were supposed to. The Fed's just confused about that one fact. And because they believe that's tied up into consumer price pressures, they're not really sure, even as they incorporate all the rest of the data and what other central banks are seeing, as well as saying and eventually going to be doing in their own process too, their own thought processes too. One other factor that we should at least mention here, it's kind of the inverse of the same factor over in Japan. The Japanese raised rates because they're getting enormous political pressure from an unpopular government where Japanese voters and Japanese people are unhappy about consumer prices still going up too aggressively. Here we have somewhat of a different problem where the political pressures and the political powers that be would love the Federal Reserve to do the opposite of what the Bank of Japan did, which is the opposite way from which political pressure was applied to the Federal Reserve just a couple years ago when Jay Powell was summoned to the White House. Remember that? Well, just recently, President Biden, March 8th, on the campaign trail.
But guess what? I can't guarantee it, but I bet you those rates come down more because I bet you that that little outfit that sets interest rates, it's going to come down. It's
going to come down. Now, this is not a partisan issue. Any president running for re-election, going all the way back to even before Richard Nixon, but Richard Nixon was famous for getting in the Federal Reserve's face, and Lyndon B. Johnson, LBJ, likewise. Famous story of him taking William McChesney Martin down on his ranch and really roughhousing him with the ride throughout the ranch. But either way, presidents throughout history, the Fed is supposed to be independent. Let's be honest here. Politicians put political pressure on the Fed all the time. They always have. And this is no different. What I'm saying here is that the political pressure that's being applied on the Federal Reserve in 2024 is for rates to come down. And that is absolutely something the Fed is going to be considering too. Whether they will ever admit it or not, we all know it's the case and that's to be true. So that's one reason why there's a little bit more certainty on the idea of rate cuts from the FOMC this year, and then more uncertainty being applied to say 2025 and 2026. As far as market reaction to all of this, More confusion from the FOMC and the Federal Reserve means it's more difficult for the market to plot a course for short-term interest rates. Because if the Fed isn't sure, how are we going to be sure that crazy Uncle Jay isn't going to be just raising rates because he's not really sure what consumer prices are going to do in the next couple months? So the market knee-jerk reaction to the FOMC and the release of the statement and the summary of economic projections was confused. At first, it was the short-term interest rate, the two-year U.S. Treasury sold off and the rate went up. At the same time, the 10-year Treasury rate went way down, or at least substantially down. And then they completely flip-flopped. The 10 started to more aggressively sell off, while the two-year was more aggressively bid. And they flipped, they flopped places where the 10-year was now above where it had been, the 10-year yield was above where it had been at the start of the announcement or when the announcement was made, while the 2-year was well below. And then after that was digested, both rates are now moving aggressively lower because at the end of the day, the FOMC may be confused, but the market really isn't. The market is only confused about what the FOMC's confusion might mean for short-term interest rates in the near term. But after everything settles out, there's not likely to be a whole lot of confusion moving forward. And we see the same thing in SOFR futures markets as well, where short-term rates that are supposed to be more uncertain, well, at least in SOFR futures into the early 2025 contracts, there's still some buying going on in them. So at the end of the day, the markets are saying, we know how all this is going to work out. We just don't know how it's going to go on the way to get there because even the FOMC is completely confused. The biggest risk in markets these days isn't inflation or even recession, it's the Fed and Jay Powell, understanding how all of these things are all fitting together in 2024. So to summarize the FOMC's meeting, total confusion reigning here, but they don't want to change the dots too much in 2024 because of political pressures, because of their overseas biases. They do want to coordinate with everyone else, especially the ECB, if it's going to be cutting rates rather soon. And they're not sold on the economy either. They look at the economy as maybe stronger, more resilient than they want, but they can also see all of these signals that it's actually pretty weak. So they're worried that the rate hikes aren't doing what they were supposed to do, and that if the rate hikes aren't hitting demand too much, then consumer price pressures may not be as finished as they would like. And so that's where when they say that we're not confident about inflation, that's what they actually mean. They're not confident about their own policies. And so the response to that lack of confidence is to say we may end up doing more of the same things. Well, that's just par for the course for the Federal Reserve because that's what it always does. When it's unsure, it just does more of what it is that it always does do, which in this case means more rate hikes because not really sure how inflation works nor what to do if it didn't work. So it's not hawkishness in that the Fed is saying we have a projection for higher interest rates. It's a projection of higher uncertainty because of all this confusion. Not all risks to the U.S. economy are strictly macroeconomic. There are some financial and banking risks too. Talked about that just recently. That's the video link below. As always, thank you very much for joining me. Huge thank you, Eurodollar University members and subscribers. Look out for the spring sale. And until next time, take care.